last time I let you do a pun slam.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And with special guest, James, apparently, because here he is again.
Yeah, we didn't expect him back so soon.
I know, right? But with also special guest,
Cedius.
Yay, Cedius Scotchbringer.
We have all of AON here.
Woo!
How cool is that?
And tertiary AON? Can he be tertiary AON? He brings us scotch.
He puts the tersh in tertiary.
I don't think that means anything, really.
three fingers? Is that what?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I meant scotch.
Okay, we're going to drink something now.
All right. Wait, are we going to drink vodka?
I thought it was rum.
Oh. Gin?
The hell you say?
CDS, talk to us about what it is that we are drinking this, this lovely and fine evening.
As one might guess, as it's me who is
singing the song of my
Scotchbringer
people.
Yes, this is the Benromic Peat Smoke, a Speyside single malt Scotch whiskey, aged approximately 8 years, although it doesn't say on the bottle. But I'm pretty sure it's an 8 year. I'm just enjoying the aroma.
Oh God, yes.
It's got,
can I just
the
smell
acetone.
My scotch?
It's much better than the aroma that was in my car on the way here, which has plastic.
Tell us about this
right
after.
Now.
Yeah,
yeah. Let us savor this, and then you can ruin it with your smells.
Like birch bark.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, birch bark or cedar.
Salsa?
That's delightful.
I'm going to need another stool.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you're going to need to stack it on top of that one because you're getting shorter by the day or what?
I'm not that old yet.
I hear when people get perimenopausal, they start to
piss off. I fucking hate you. You
like
fucking
that.
Asshole.
I've heard the same thing, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
My grandma, by the way, started off at her height. The tallest she ever got was the height of her height. Yes, the tallest she ever got was my size. By the time she passed, she was like 93. Had been a smoker since like 18, by the way, and she refused to say she was ever under 5 feet tall. She was totally under 5 feet tall. I'm gonna die a tiny, tiny woman.
At the zenith of your television career?
I see what you kind of did there, but no.
You know what? James has had a couple weeks off. Just give him some time to reacclimate.
There's a lot of rust.
Yeah.
Here.
And not just
clearly.
Is that why your beard's all red?
See, I was going to make that joke, and I'm like, no.
All right.
Drink some scotch. It'll make you feel better.
Excellent.
In the meantime.
The aqua vitae of his people.
In the meantime, who's got something that they want to talk about since that happened?
I mean, all of us.
Okay.
Well, not necessarily.
Should we start with our guest?
We usually don't.
That's weird. I have traditionally gone last if I get to go.
Do you want to go first?
Tradition.
I should probably go before James to make sure I have time.
Accurate.
I've heard the show. I haven't been on the show since James was on, so this is the new thing for me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a little weird.
Different.
Is it kind of creepy how he's looking at you and bouncing a lot?
No, I've been on Awfulcopter too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He sat on my lap.
Whoa.
Look, there are only so many seats in the Awfulcopter.
It's true. Only so many seats.
I believe that.
And it was him or Steve, and no.
For God's sake, somebody talk about their week.
So I saw a play on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
With Mr. Patton. Not our music Patton, but...
Not Brandon Muffuckin' Patton.
Not Brandon Muffuckin' Patton, but Mr. Dan Patton. He's my theater buddy, and so we went to see
a jolly
show.
Jolly good buddy, he is.
Yeah, he seems like a really good theater buddy.
He is a good theater buddy. Yeah. He's equal amounts appreciative and critical, which is a hard find in a theater buddy. Yeah. Anyway, so we went to see The Mystery of Irma Vip. I think it's The Mystery or The Case of Irma Vip, something like that. Anyway, it's
pronounced VIP.
God.
But it's with a Y.
I can hand you the hammer. That'll give you enough reach.
So we get there, and I had no idea what to expect, which is probably for the best.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. And I open up the program, and there were two things that caught my attention right away. The first one, as I was reading through, is that it was based off of Penny Dreadfuls.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Different from Penny Dreadful the series, similar in content to Penny Dreadful the series.
Penny Dreadfuls back in the day, if you don't know, are just like little stories that you could get buy or what have you, that was kind of like super short chunks of stories, but it was like a to be continued mm-hmm. after mm-hmm. every time. Kind of comic bookish without the pictures, maybe.
Penny novels, yeah.
Yeah. So this was based off of some Penny Dreadfuls that were the case mystery whatever of mm-hmm. Irma Vip, and it was absolutely fantastic for what that was, because I didn't know what to expect, and then it happened and I was like, oh yeah, there's no way I could have expected that.
You know why?
Huh?
It's because you didn't expect the unexpected.
Oh. Well, there are known unknowns, and then there are unknown.
Unknowns. What about the unknown knowns? So
what
anyway,
about the unknown gnomes,
like the leprechauns.
Steal your underwear.
Shit. But yeah. So it was very slapsticky. It was a two man mm-hmm. show, playing all eight parts. And there were some cross dressing jokes that they made that made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But.
Gonna take some time for those to.
Well, yeah, and it's an older play too, yeah. So it's just
were they period jokes then, or like?
No, they didn't do anything on menstruation.
Okay, just making sure.
Oh. Mm. Okay, so
seriously, you didn't see that
really?
Coming?
No. Really?
I did. I was hoping she wouldn't go there, and then I remembered it was Jen.
No, I didn't realize that you were gonna pad your joke.
You didn't.
Oh, son of it! You wait your turn, motherfucker. You'll have your time.
She's going to string you along.
I can't cut. No.
He's a bad influence.
You may need
on
to,
me. I'm sorry.
You have to tamp down on this.
Oh, God damn it. Okay, so. They did do a lot of puns, actually. There was the entire second act was set in Egypt, and it was all these Egyptian puns and just wordplay and everything else. It was very slapsticky. It was very goofy. It was very well put together for what it was. And I don't mean like here was a high school play and it was well put together for a high school play. No, it was for the style that it is. It was exceptionally well done. It spoke well to the style of the show. But the other thing that I happened to see in the program was the scenic director. Made me raise my eyebrow a little bit and go, huh, really? Chip Lineburner.
Oh, no shit.
Right. Yeah. I looked at that and I went, wow, Canada's really taking over. I'm fine with this. But yeah, and he did. He did a fantastic job with it. It was absolutely incredible. It was like this hunting lodge manor type thing and all of these props that the actors would play with throughout the various scenes and things like that were decorations on the wall. So eventually you'd be like, I wonder if they're going to pick up that one. No, shit. God damn it. He got me. Like, it was very cool.
So they had, like, not Chekhov's gun? The opposite of the thing that you expect them to pick up that they then didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I was confused.
So are we.
Now I'm confused.
Okay. Oh,
okay. Right. Anyway, yeah, and then the best part, there was a spot, there was a picture over the fireplace. There was a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture was a projection picture. And so as creepy, because it was all like supernatural stuff throughout the play, as creepy things were happening throughout it, the picture would change.
Mm.
And there were times where you got like this little screamy guy in the back, like the skeletonishy thing, and like the facial expressions on the picture would change. And it was pictures
like subtly,
Sometimes subtly, sometimes less
not
subtly.
So subtly.
And there was one point where they shoot the picture, and the picture starts to bleed. And so they were able to do that with the projection really well, and it was pretty fantastic. That was unexpected and delightful. So, yeah. So saw that. It's Plain and White Bear. I just ruined most of it for you, but you know, go check it out.
I heard Chip was doing another thing beyond the Haunted Basement Horror Fest. So
yep,
good. Now I know what it is.
Well, awesome. And I got to talk to the artistic director because he's a friend of Dan's. Dan does a lot of theater in that particular company. And the artistic director was like, yeah, like, we're like, how did you get Chip, like, from Canada? Like, that's, you know, do you know him from somewhere else? And he's like, well, he sent in this resume application, and I just saw all of the horror stuff on this and went, yep,
mm-hmm.
yep. So, yeah, I saw that. I did a bunch of other things. I don't remember what they were, though. There's one thing I did with James over the weekend, which I'm dumb. I'm stupid. So dumb. Like, really dumb, you guys. I've had a lot of stupid ideas. And this is pretty much the dumbest one. I brought James to a pun slam.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. I thought he would like it.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we show
That's
up.
That's the problem.
We went to Pundemonium. Sunday night, and it's put on by Art Allen, who's just a sweetheart of a man, and also very good at puns himself. And we show it. I'm like, and I know that if we get there early enough, then maybe James can like actually be in the contest because it's a pun contest.
Yeah.
And we walk in and we look over at the tables and we're like, huh. Well, there's Kyle.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So both Kyle and James were in this pun competition.
What do you think?
They made it to the finals, and then they were the last two standing.
What were of you course. Thinking?
Of course they were the last two standing. And then James kicked his ass. So James, his first time to Pundemonium, won. Kyle, however, has done Pundemonium 3 times now and come in second every time, which kind of delights me more. Sorry, James.
I mean, he's just fine. He's consistent.
Right. Yeah. He's very dependable that way. So yeah, it was, did the pun slam. It was a really good time, despite it being puns.
I've been a couple times, and Pundemonium is genuinely a fun time.
Yeah,
because
it really is.
They've got, you know, the first one is everybody's given a topic, and then they're given, what is it, 5 minutes to write as many as they.
It depends on which round.
Yeah. But the first round is what I'm saying.
First round, you just get a topic as soon as you show up.
Also expect you to really prepare.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the second round is you
they
know,
give you. 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
And so, I mean, every round you're given less time to prepare. Yep. You just have to write as many
and
puns as you
final
can.
Final round is
third
you
round.
On a randomly versus drop. Yeah. somebody yeah. on
and
the same topic.
You
yeah.
just
yep.
It's cage match style.
Yep.
You just
yeah.
It's not back and forth. It's you just go as soon as you come up with one, you say it.
Mm-hmm.
But they are genuinely fun, and you don't know what the topic is until you're there.
Yeah.
And I had a ton of fun. I went with Josh Knight a few times.
Oh, sure.
And he, I think he came in, like, I think he didn't make it to the final, but he was pretty close.
Okay.
One of the times.
So Kyle wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Damn it.
Because then, you know.
But yeah. No, as much. The thing is if you had told me yesterday that you were taking James to Pundemonium, I would have said, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Like, I can't believe you haven't already been there forever.
He wasn't...
I read a
we didn't
book about
have...
It.
Oh, God. We didn't have Pundemonium last year because we had so many people sign up for Die Laughing so quickly we ran out of space.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, yeah. You didn't even know this was a thing, did you?
No, I knew that there were pun competitions.
Yeah.
But I thought that they were elsewhere. I did not know that there were any locally.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a book about those types of things and about wordplay in general called The Pun Also Rises.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's a good book.
The Pun Rises. God.
So yeah, and then let's see, what else did I did a board game thing at the Sterling's house.
Oh yeah, they're nice folks.
Yeah, I mean they're all right. Raiderly's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Raiderly's pretty
awesome. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. In aggregate.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right.
I mean, yeah. Net, we're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we were cleaning the house, like you do, mm-hmm. And we looked at our board game shelves, and I remarked to Raiderly that we needed to buy another shelf, because... We've got all the ones that fit, and then all of the ones piled on top that didn't mm-hmm. fit. And we needed,
right.
As you do. Yeah.
So we needed to buy another shelf to organize things a little better. And I was like, you know, we've got a lot of board games that we don't play very often. We should fix that and play more board games.
Yeah, the solution to that is to play those board games.
And so, and in my head, I was going, we should do that at some point.
Right.
And in her head, she heard... You want to do that today?
Yeah, I call everybody.
And I went, well, now.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And so I did. I threw it out on Facebook, and I said, who wants to come over and play board games tonight? Mm-hmm. And we did. We had a grand old time. Let me see. A friend of ours brought his two daughters over, and we had another friend over, and Jenna was there. And
glad I'm not a friend. Thanks.
Well... I'm not going to say names of the other people because that's rude.
No name dropper.
Well, exactly, right?
Is that like no name sticks?
The kids, like the kids had Candyland and they went in the other room and they played that until they got bored with it and then they just watched.
Shook his fist.
They watched Moana and we played games in the dining room and. Had a grand old time.
Yeah.
My favorite part was we invited people to come over to play those board games that we never played, and we played at one of the games that somebody else brought.
Yeah.
So
games are still never getting played.
Exactly. They're still sitting there.
That's what you do. Yeah.
Still sitting there. Yeah. But we played a game called Scythe.
Oh yes. My God.
And it is.
I won. By proxy, kind of.
Fantastically fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and one of the friends partnered up. And he was the one that knew everything that was, like, he figured out the structure and everything right away. And I basically just went, hey, remember this thing, or are we doing this thing? Hmm. And, like, I kind of project managed a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, and I mean, this
like
is,
my job.
This is a Euro game, but, and there are 27 different ways to get victory points.
Right.
You know, out of it. And so everybody's strategy is slightly different. Some people try to spread it around as much as possible, and some people really try to laser in on getting as many points out of this one area as possible. And you've got a board, and you've got it's actually really clever the way they've done it. Is everybody's given a card that has their specific like race stats.
Yep.
And then everybody is given
racist.
I know, right? And then everybody is given a board that has your basically your movement, your turn on it. Mm-hmm. And there's four different sections. One of them is move. One of them is bolster, which is just basically build up your various stats. One of them is
production,
and one of them is
like resources or something like that. Yeah.
But the thing is you've got these four possible things you can do on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
But on your next turn, you can't do the one thing that you did last time. So if you moved last round, you can do the other three, but you can't move.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, all of these cards are slightly different. So some resources cost more on some cards, and some resources, you know, the rewards for different resources. So when you're playing,
so you're telling me races are different.
Yeah.
Some of them might be less equal than others.
Exactly. So you've got that element
of very specific privileges and advantages.
Yeah. But I mean, but it's taken away in other ways, you know. And so you've got, you know, every time you play this game, even though you're the same, you may be the same race as you were last time around,
mm-hmm.
your ability to build and buy is completely different.
Gotcha. So it is determined at the start of the game.
Mm-hmm. But then your this card has pegs that, mm-hmm. that can be moved. And you can buy, basically spend money on a peg, and it removes the peg from the top and puts it on the bottom. And that thing is that peg has been covering up a symbol. Hmm. And now you've uncovered that symbol, but covered a different symbol.
Gotcha.
So, for example, you would gain two resources, but it would cost 3 gold. But now you've moved that peg, so you get 3 resources, and it only costs 2 gold. You know, yeah. That's a really simple, you know, but that sort of
a little simplified,
thing.
But yeah.
That's very oversimplified.
But then there's something else that you would lose in exchange.
Exactly,
for.
Exactly. Yeah. So you gain something and you lose something every time you move these pegs. So it's shifting how you want the game to play for you. And so you've got movement, and you're trying to gain territory, but you've also got military points that are, you know, contribute to how many points you get at the end, and you also get popularity points based on how popular you are with your own with your own people.
Friend and I were the most popular, and Salsa and Raiderly were the least popular.
Raiderly and I were Russia. and we were like, fuck it, we're despots. And we spent all of our
popularity. Story has ring of truth.
We spent all of our popularity points for military points and for movement and stuff like that. And our mechs were just moving around.
It was a pretty good strategy.
We were dominating the board as far as movement went. Because,
they have mechs?
The other thing is you have four.
Oh my God, and all of the mechs are different too.
Yeah.
Each country has their own different style of mech. Mm-hmm. And it's.
Like, I was interested in this game before, but now I'm compelled.
So when you start the game, again, with everything else, when you move pieces, it uncovers something else.
Sure.
So you start with these four mechs on your character board. And as you spend money to place a mech on the board, and you take that mech off of your character sheet and put it on the board, and it has now uncovered something on your character board.
Oh.
So that is now something for the rest of the game that you have the ability to do.
Nice.
Like crossing rivers, which is actually very important in this particular territory.
But Raiderly and I, one of them is you have the ability to move extra spaces and things like that. So we had a lot of mobility, and we were just trucking. And so we were kind of focusing on trying to gain territory and stuff like that. But on the other hand, because our popularity was so low, at the end of the game, popularity determines multipliers.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Things you find out learning.
Yeah. So exactly. There is... And it's... When I'm... trying to describe it, it's extremely complicated, but the reality is it's extremely complicated.
Yeah.
But a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because there are so many variables, it's really difficult to develop, you know, a winning strategy game after game. You know, you can't go, I'm an expert at this game because I have this one strategy that wins.
I'm
going to
build the longest
time.
Road and then upgrade.
Exactly, you know. And when I play Ticket to Ride, Longest Road is always on my mind of trying to do this. Whereas this game, it's really you
get distracted really.
There is so much going on, and you get dealt the hand you're dealt, and you just go, okay, I need to deal with this. You know, and it's completely different than last time, and you might not have the resources you want. And so instead you go military but everything for every give, there's a take, you know, so it's very well balanced, tons of fun. Highly recommend.
That sounds like they did exhaustive playtest.
Oh yeah. And this is a Fantasy Flight game.
Oh, it is.
I think maybe I'm wrong.
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
There is a series of tubes.
Stop thinking about it.
Maybe I'm wrong. I think I might be thinking of a different game. But either way, very, very well-developed game.
I was going to say Ravenholm, but we never go to Ravenholm. Ravensburg something?
Ravenscroft?
Königsberg or something like that? Oh, I know what you're talking about. Anyway, Scythe.
Stonemaier Games.
Oh, okay. Scythe. Lots of fun. And they do, actually... You know how... With some games, you get your little cheat sheet, your cheat card that's like order of play.
Right.
Do this, do this, do this.
These are the actions you can take during this phase of your
game. This game, you get
two cheat cards that are double-sided.
Fuck.
Like, on your turn, these are the things you can do.
This cheat card is an if-then statement.
This game
has a lot going on. Nested if. Nested if, else otherwise, yeah.
Oh, God.
Exit four.
Return.
Oop. Yeah, and then... So
that sounds people
played games, and then the next night my parents came over. They were at they went to see Pirates of Penzance. My niece was in Pirates of Penzance.
Wonderful.
On their way home from Wisconsin, they stopped here for the night and saw the kids, and you know, just
did they bring you new Glarus?
They did.
Yay!
What the hell? I was joking.
No, not at all. Amazing. No, my mom texted me and we're like, we're in Wisconsin. Do you want me to bring you some beer? I was like, yes. Of course.
Oh my god, yes.
That's really sweet.
The question isn't if, the question is what.
There's that.
One bottle of Serendipity and one bottle of Belgian Red.
Yay!
Very nice.
Because yummy.
I have started my new job, which means that I will be going directly from recording to work.
Sucker.
Which means we can't be fucking
nine
around.
Hours. Yeah. There's that. One pandemonium, which we covered. And then I had an anniversary.
Yeah, you did.
Somebody that I'm seeing, I have been seeing for just pretty much exactly a year. And she surprised myself and another person with Cirque du Soleil, the crystal. Cirque du Soleil on ice.
On ice.
Which, I will say, the acrobatics are not as far flung in some senses as they are for other Cirque shows, but they're on fucking skates.
Yeah.
So I'm going to not only give them a pass on that one, I'm going to say that they were able to do like 75% of the stuff that they do in other shows and be on skates on ice. That's pretty goddamn impressive. I'm very literally jaw-dropping and incredibly heartfelt and emotional. It was a beautiful show. So I had a fucking amazing time and found out that there is apparently a Jack Lynx beef jerky store owned by Jack Lynx.
What?
Which was attached to the Target Center arena. Yeah, it sells...
Welcome to Minnesota.
Beef jerky and beef jerky accessories and...
Can I get beef jerky earrings?
Pretty likely.
Yes. Yes.
Don't.
Then when somebody goes to nibble on my ears, he'll be like, teriyaki.
Fucking damn it. Yes.
Beef jerky... accessories?
Like mugs and shirts and shit, I'm thinking.
Well, that, but also quite possibly earrings. And
those aren't beef jerky accessories. That's merchandise.
And also, like, things
beef jerky accessories would be like special beef jerky eaten gloves.
Right, I'm pretty sure that they had
or
things.
A trough. Like, that's a beef jerky accessory.
Can I also get a beef jerky trough?
Oh, I also need a beef jerky trough.
Right.
By the way, James,
a terrible thing to call your significant.
By the way, James,
I don't have a significant other.
On the games night that we had the other day,
yes.
I totally used the fart cupboard.
He did.
It's up and working. It's
no.
It's partially working.
It's partially working.
I'm so proud. Did other people know about this?
I told Jenna,
and I laughed. I squeaked a lot. And everybody else is like, what's going on? And I'm like, I can't explain this.
As much as
you
the fart covered.
Yeah, fart covered. Yeah.
Yes.
Fart covered.
Fart covered. I think he is out right now.
So, yes, the fart covered. And then I, again, made tube roll things, this time cinnamon rolls, in a waffle maker, waffle iron. And it is... fucking amazing.
Yes.
It is fucking amazing. Instead of waiting like 8 to 10 minutes for those things to be done in the oven, you put one at
a
time
a
or two at a time.
And then you pour syrup on them.
And then they're just fucking done.
Yeah.
And you put icing and it has little square indents for the icing to go into and stick. And it's just incredible.
It's brilliant.
Yes. It is the best.
I've done it. I don't have the chubby that you guys seem to have over this, because I'm
fine with that.
It was fine.
More see, for if me. You ate more, then you would get chubby.
Well, I, yeah.
Are you calling me fat?
I think I'm done.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm thankfully, somebody has broken the ice on that.
And it was Jenna.
The icing on that?
Okay. So, good.
Don't encourage him. Don't encourage him.
I went to a pun slam. I'm stuck.
I love you too.
I know.
I'm stuck.
So yeah, no, yeah. I now work overnights, and last night was my first 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. shift. Well,
how'd that go for you?
It turns out my office has no east facing windows.
Aww.
On our side of the building. We are on the wrong fucking side of the building. So I used to watch the sunset from the meeting rooms, and watching the sun rise is incredibly difficult, especially because people walk in and turn the lights on in the room with the south facing windows, so that it's all you can see is the inside of the room from the. It's just fucking
sun's bitches.
People are the worst.
Seriously,
that's true.
That's why I'm generally not a fan
of people.
Yeah. I like persons just fine. People suck.
Yeah. Right, true. Yeah, no, exactly that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love... Mm-hmm. Actually, I love people in general. There are some individuals that...
I might want to break out a Gom Jabbar. That's kind of what I'm saying, but...
Yeah. Hey, Cedius.
Uh-huh.
What have you been up to?
Well...
How you doing?
I'm doing. Yeah. So... I'll only like hit the last 2 weeks, because the rest would be kind of ridiculous. There's too much. Mm. Let me sum up. So I also, like Jenna and Tim, did some Horror Fest.
Yeah.
Only I did all of it. Oh. I mean, I didn't hit like every show, but I saw every show. I mean,
saw every production.
Correct.
But you did not go to every show slot.
That one.
Yep.
Because
I've done this before.
That's too much time.
Slot.
There was some pretty solid shows. There was a couple of decent shows, and there were a couple of shows that are like, I saw that.
I want to have a conversation with you later over
we
a show.
We will.
Excellent.
I'm sure. And then I moved on from seeing those shows to seeing Moby Dick by Coup d'Etat Theater. That was really good. I'm planning on going again this weekend. I just need to figure out who I'm dragging with me and what day, because I don't typically like the Moby Dick story, because I had to read it, and when I say I had to read it, I had to read it. I didn't want to read it.
Sure.
I had to read it. And the story would probably be great if you throw out the chapters about whaling and just read the story, but this was a very moving production. Okay. I do not usually pull a mat and want to cry at something. I had to fight some back.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh.
Did you punch yourself or something?
No.
To keep him back?
I just took a couple of deep breaths and said, no, seriously, I'm not Matt.
May he rest in peace.
Yes. But no, it was a really good show. I have been introduced to a couple of people in it before, briefly, and so I chatted with some of them a little bit. And I went to the Pay What You Can Monday night show first weekend, where they had after the show, talk to people.
QA.
Thing. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, too. And then this last weekend, I also played some board games, because I was at OmegaCon.
Oh.
I didn't play nearly as many board games as the average person who goes to OmegaCon. I honestly go to play Salad Bowl, which is not, technically speaking, a board game.
What you do in your personal life is...
No, Salad Bowl's an incredible
good
game,
radio,
though.
Tell us.
All right, so Salad Bowl, if you've ever played the game Taboo... It is very like to Taboo.
Yep.
So basically...
You're not helping James's position at all here.
I mean...
Helping? Helping? Define helping.
Okay. You made the fires worse.
So the way the game is played is that everyone in the room is handed a certain number of slips of paper. And on these slips of paper, you need to write a character name. Mm-hmm. They have to be a single character, fictional or real.
Like not married?
Like
only one letter
like
long.
Marianne. Like Ringo Starr, not the Beatles.
Ringo has like five characters in the first name alone.
That's not even getting into his D&D characters.
Oh, God. I love it when we have a guest we can fuck with.
I'm just trying to figure out how to turn this around those and set the... James off, and no.
Oh, nope.
Good those... luck.
Yeah.
So
it's the only time I feel like we're a team, guys.
You're right.
When we're ganging up on our guests?
Yes.
By the way.
Me in particular, probably.
By the way, yeah. If you want to be a guest on Apropos of Nothing,
bring them scotch or other alcohol.
Send an email to Jenna at
Accurate.
So you throw these names, and then you fold the slip, and you throw it in a big bowl. And then when it is your turn...
You take all your keys...
Well, yeah. This was Omega Con, so we all had already kind of thrown our keys somewhere else. Anyway, key party. The salad bowl there.
Yes. Okay.
So then there's a minute on the clock, and then when it's your turn, you draw a slip, and you try to get the team to guess without saying the words on the paper until they have said that word. So, for instance, if I want you to say Captain Jean-Luc Picard, I say Commander of the Enterprise D. And then you say...
Captain
Jean-Luc Picard.
Of the Enterprise.
Corporal Prawn Vuk Nibard.
No, that was in the alternate during the three...
because I haven't said the actual word.
Three
episodes. Right, and no one knows what the fuck you're talking about, so good luck getting to Captain Jean-Luc Picard from that, because what?
Yeah.
But...
my knee card.
In one of the games where... So the other one last rule of the game is the someone else in the room besides you needs to know the name you're running on the slip,
right?
But it can be fairly in jokey. So for instance,
did my name come up?
Yours did not.
Oh,
James's on the other hand.
Oh, what
yes!
the fuck?
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure it was Eric Knight in the first game through James Fairbairn.
What the fuck?
And not he Fairbairn. And I were on one team. And the people guessing it were on the other team and were like, they don't know who it is. This is funny for us to watch. So then the next round, I also threw in James, but not as James. I threw in Scotch Squatch.
God damn it.
And people were like, the liquor he really likes and what you call a North American Yeti? Swish it together? And they got it very quickly.
Oh, okay.
I was amused. And I'm like, hee hee hee. And Eric was like, what? And I'm like, oh, it's James' nickname. He's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for spreading that shit around.
Excellent.
I could have given you your Twiddle handle.
No.
See, you have to choose.
Oh, fuck.
So I went with Scotch.
Neither of these are good options. Okay.
Don't make
I want to know
it.
All of this.
It's like a Sophie's Choice where she has to kill both of them.
I'm going to allow it.
Yeah.
Hashtag...
Haha.
Yes. So, yeah, so that was a lot of fun. But prior to going to a MegaCon, I had taken my car into the shop because there was some maintenance that needed to happen. And as part of that maintenance, someone must have jiggled something loose because I'm driving back from OmegaCon, and I get to the house and I get in the get out of the car and I'm like, huh. And I don't think too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I drive here, which is the only other longish drive that I've taken since getting back. My commute is thankfully very short.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to an eating establishment nearby to Salsa's house. I get out of the car. Okay, this is driving me crazy. I pop the hood. It's like, oh, there's a lovely piece of melting plastic in the middle of my engine.
Oh.
So lovely. I'm going to be going into the shop to see if they can scrape off what's still melted on, but the rest of the plate I've already pulled out, so it doesn't get any worse.
Right.
Unfortunately, I need to drive home tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually. So I have the hood propped up in hopes it'll cool as much as possible before I get started, so it'll take a while to heat up. But I might, like, get halfway somewhere, stop at a gas station for 20 minutes, let it cool down again, and then finish driving home. I gotta... Yeah. Either that or I'm driving with the windows down, because... Yeah. Fuck, it got bad coming from that eatery to here, and it's not far away.
Right.
So it is.
I think you're looking at this the wrong way. Clearly, things melting on your engine block cause your entire car to smell. What you need to do is you need to throw a couple pounds of bacon on there to cover up the smell.
Except that I like eating bacon. I'm not going to eat bacon covered in plastic.
Well, you know, this is just a smell thing,
yeah.
I don't know, bacon and plastic. I've had a scotch like that once.
Was it Dalwhinnie?
No, Dalwhinnie's good.
Okay.
No, it was an Ely that was nice and peaty and had a like bacon note under it, but it also had a very kind of plasticky. Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah,
I would not recommend it. So yeah, so that's most of what I've been up to. I started playing World of Warcraft again after about a 3 or 4 month hiatus.
Oh, but, honey, no.
Well, see, unlike you, I'm not dating anybody. And
high five.
I'm flattered.
And I've got copious amounts of free time and can only masturbate so many times in a day. So
that's a lie.
I just touched your hand.
Which is why I saved it for last.
God damn it.
If it makes you feel better, it's my offhand, and she only gets a date once every 3 or 4 times.
Kind of.
A day?
I don't.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So.
No. 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 No.
Yeah.
I've missed everybody. So much.
Anyways.
Should we take a break?
I'm looking for an opening shebang. Mm-hmm.
What?
I'm good with the opening shebang.
Okay.
Sidious is pleased. We may now conclude part one.
Oh, thank you.
I am content at the amount of time I've gotten to speak.
Oh.
Oh.
I didn't have to knock James over or anything.
Yeah, I was surprised. That
he is rusty.
He is rusty.
To be fair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break and come back to your ear holes in just a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Sidious.
Yay! I love it when we have a guest that knows what's going on.
It's like I've been here before or something.
I also kind of love it when we have guests that don't know what's going on.
Basically, we like guests.
Yeah.
Yay, guests!
Yay, me!
So,
yeah, we'll go with it.
In this particular instance, and only because I'm a guest.
Speaking of things that are happening, there's kind of a big thing coming up.
Yeah.
Is it big?
I've heard of it.
Really big?
Well, I mean, it's average.
It's a good size?
Yeah, I've heard that it's sort of generously portioned. It's more about shape.
It's not huge, but we use it well.
Although huge is also participating in their own way.
It's not the size of the mustache, it's the fury of its onslaught.
Rug burn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Did you like that once or twice, did you?
God.
Today.
this hour.
I mean,
you guys thought I was smoking, but...
Well, she was smoking, but not for the reason that...
Well, I like to multitask. Anyway, give to the max day, you guys. Had a date like that once, too.
Yeah. Really, all the way to the hilt. Give it all that you can.
So, yeah. Did Max
like it's the question?
Give to the Max Day is this Thursday, but you guys can donate now if you want.
Yep.
To Team Sexy.
Yes, please.
Well, God.
Team.
Please do.
Pie.
Team Sexy.
Team Sexy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Team Pie is no longer in the lead. And.
Yeah. Yeah.
For when we reach specific goals, we add an additional 6 pies.
That's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dumb.
Yep.
Do I get to eat
Hooray!
Them?
No.
I mean, depending on how close you're sitting to the action, maybe.
This doesn't motivate me then. This is
you realize you don't get to eat the Team Sexy pies either, right?
I gotta donate to Team Mystery now.
God damn it!
You know that you don't get to eat the mystery, right?
Yeah. I don't like eating mystery meat, so it's okay.
Yeah, all right.
Team Casimir, let eat whatever you want.
Yes, but I also don't care for swords and arrows, so this doesn't help me.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Pool cue?
How about a tarantula? Because if we hit our goal of $500, Megan will eat a tarantula.
Holy shit.
If we hit our goal of $500, we just decided this recently, Team Sexy will do 10 push-ups. However, for every $10 donated after the $500, we will add an additional push-up up to, like, I think it was $600 or something. And then after that...
Up to 600 push-ups?
No.
Don't we dollars. Hear folks up to 600
Yeah, push-ups. Nice try. Dollars. And then after that, it'll cost you $20 for a sit-up. And then after that, it's going to increase more. So I don't remember what the actual dollar amounts. But if you get us to $500 for the original starting 10.
I've got a credit card. How much is it for the Naked Mile run?
Let me talk to my ladies.
Sure.
Okay.
And by that, do you mean your genitals or...
No, they were smoking just a moment ago. Yeah. They need to...
How's it going? We gotta have a talk.
Excuse me, I'm just gonna talk to my ladies.
I just talked to my breasts in case the audience didn't get that. Like...
Weirdly, I think that may have picked up on Mike.
Fairly certain it did.
Okay, so give to the max day. Not only can you donate online right now, but there is a show coming up
in just a couple days.
Starting at 7 o'clock this coming Thursday, the 16th. Thank you.
For all the donations, this is kind of the money shot. Mm-hmm. Very literally money. Very literally shot.
Oh, God. Who are they? Why? No, don't. Don't shoot people.
With pies.
Okay. That'll work then. So somebody talk about what it is that we're doing while I pull up a thing.
So what is going on is Die Laughing this year. We are actually putting together one of the newest installations of the Mystery Lodge series.
Die Laughing or
no?
Because you said Die Laughing.
Give to the Max.
Give to the Max. Okay.
I apologize. We are doing one of our most recent installations of our Mystery Lodge series. And specifically, this event is a 1920s era vaudeville show.
Yeah, it is.
And so not only are you going to see amazing vaudeville acts, you're going to see comedy, you're going to see music, you're going to see sideshow, but... because this is Mystery Lodge, one of the performers is a spy.
There's going to be some cloak and dagger shit.
And you, yes, you...
It's the Russian.
...get to determine who that is. There's going to be clues scattered about.
Well, you get to try to guess who it is after that person has been determined.
No, you get to. Whether or not you succeed or not is completely up to you, but you get to. But there are going to be clues scattered about, and you will try to determine which sideshow performer is the spy. So yeah, it's got layers.
Like a cake?
No.
Like a parfait.
It's a metaphor. Like an onion. Like an onion.
No.
Like
it'll make you cry.
No.
No. Like pavement?
No.
This gag is making me cry.
Chew gum.
We're done, right?
See what I have to work with here.
Mm-hmm. So, happening...
Very little. It's what you should be used to.
Yeah, I know, right?
Happening on Give to the Max Day at our performance spot, the Fearless Marvels, if you will, we have...
Part of the Fearless Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, God. Does that mean I get a kick-ass fight scene? Because I'm in.
You should.
Fight? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Choreograph it.
Choreograph the fuck out of that shit. All right. Performing at this thing, we have some main stage acts. There is Sullivan and Sullivan Fox, which is a band that includes one of our fearless members, Angela Fox.
Yay!
Just Desserts.
Sounds
dumb.
I don't
know what that is.
Sound like a bunch of idiots.
Sounds dumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of pies.
Oh, my God. It's over 40.
You guys are dumb.
It's super dumb.
Should have been three pies, not six.
We have plans.
I fucking hope so.
We have Gallagher-type plans.
Going to dance later, and I'll just slide right off the fucking stage.
We were talking about it. What was going to happen? All right. So.
Okay. We have Dawes and Severs, which is...
The sequel to X and Severs?
Yes.
X versus Severs.
Is that the hypnotist?
Hopefully it'll be better.
I believe so.
I think it's I don't remember.
I don't even know who was all there. That's the thing.
The Dregs will be performing. The
Dregs.
I've heard of them.
Infamous.
And then Bit of Honey will be doing burlesque.
Sounds dumb.
Ooh.
Piss off. Also, I'm Bit of Honey. You only know that now. I will never refer to myself as that again.
Tanya should have gone with the name I gave you, but that's fine.
There are reasons why I went with Bit of Honey.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Okay. And some asshole named Casimir.
Sounds dumb.
Yeah, it does. That sounds dumb.
You're not wrong. That's Walter.
So those are our main stage acts. And I believe last week we talked about some of the sideshow stuff mm-hmm. that's going to... There will be sideshow performances and then main stage and then sideshow and then main stage yep. and then sideshow and then main stage. Is Casimir doing sideshow too?
Yep.
Jesus oh, Christ, you shit. Dumbass.
Yep. Yeah. So I'll be doing sideshow stuff.
He was confused
stuff.
By only doing one performance.
I know, it was two, but...
yeah.
So I'll be doing three throughout the evening. Yep. A couple sideshow and then one main stage. Then we're going to also, we'll have a blockhead... which
you're a blockhead.
I really
blockhead is a
this
blockhead.
Is so great.
That's true.
That they were Tim kept trying to ask him, you know, what the name of his act is, and he just keep trying to figure it out, and then he finally decides, oh, it's so obvious, Charlie.
Oh, you blockhead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know. No, right? I got it.
No, like, it's no. great. No. It's so good.
Y'all.
I'm bringing peanuts to throw at it.
Ooh,
nice.
So we'll have a blockhead, we'll have it's an insectivore, theater, so we're going to have a magician, we are going to have puppet fortune tellers.
I heard that Toil and Tumble might actually be doing it.
Toil
now?
And Tumble, yes, we'll have acrobats, strongman stuff going on.
It's going to be very circusy, carnival-y type mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah,
very vulnerable.
Will Roger Moore show up with clown makeup?
Just for
no,
5 minutes.
No, but then Pierce Brosnan will breathe some fire.
Cool.
What? Why aren't you... Never mind. Hmm? What? Nothing.
Pierce Brosnan was a fire eater.
I know.
Yeah, he picked up what I was cooking.
Yeah, I got it. I was just like, but we already have a fire... We don't need other assholes breathing fire in our shows.
Well, if he's bringing other James Bonds in, I might as well throw him... Never mind.
Quick aside, Kyle was talking about having read... something for a Dungeons and Dragons manual, and it's
I'm
something
shocked.
About people who excel at swordplay because they've got all of these weird extra talents that they've been studying on the
sword
side.
Chucks.
And it was like, no, god damn it, fighter, no. The pamphlet said something like they may be excellent with unusual skills like sword swallowing and. Knife juggling and fire eating. You probably don't know anyone like that in real life, but and he's like, motherfucker, I know one person who does all of those things and several people who do some of them.
Right? That's fantastic. So yeah, and then of course the Mounts Theater will be serving drinks.
Mm-hmm. Hot damn.
And they're popcorn, so you can have like
I don't
popcorn
know if that's a drink they serve.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Also, we should mention Mounds Theater is also in Give to the Max.
Yeah.
So some of the proceeds that you get from going to the show, part of it will go to us and part of it will go to Mounds. So by coming to this show, you are supporting two completely awesome
two.
Groups.
So Sirius.
Mm-hmm.
As a board member of Fearless, mm-hmm. do you have anything specific you would like to say about Give to the Max Day?
You should go.
As an excited member of the Fearless.
You should go!
There we go.
God damn it.
Right?
Took him a moment.
He is rusty.
My God.
He really is.
I was wondering if that was going to happen. I was so excited that it did. I was... yes. Sadly, I've got another thing where I will be late, but when I get there will be potential things. Shenanigans.
So there's mystery to our mystery show?
Maybe.
Shenanigans.
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 Where were we at?
The moon.
Oh my with god.
Steve. Anyway, so
Squirrel was covered in makeup.
So as mentioned, CDS is our chairman of the board. Are you? What are you?
President of the board. President chairman of the board. Are you, like, probably president. Sinatra comparisons don't work well with me. So
I was thinking synonym roles. Butt shelf of the board. Butt shelf men of
head
board.
Cheese.
No, I don't like head that one cheese. So much either.
Head.
You're the dude. What's important?
What the important
of yes. the board.
So, as
then the top nail on the board.
Yes.
Do not hit me upon the me, apparent.
Speaking as the long nail in the bed of nails, what gross. Is fearless in all of this mean to you?
Well, fearless for me has been...
Sell us on this.
A good way for me to, like... So, I'm kind of new to the full theater scene myself. I have not really done any kind of performance since, honestly, elementary school. So this was a good place for me to come in. I've always liked, you know, cracking jokes and doing my thing and hanging both out with comedians. Things. Like, well, you know, not at the same time necessarily, but it's given me a chance to play around a little bit. I deeply love Fearless Lab myself personally, because I've gotten to do stand up there a couple of times and actually got laughs for my jokes. Because a lot of my jokes are, if you know me, they're really funny. If you don't know me, they could be funny. And so I got to work on that. But that's exactly the thing, is this gives me a place where I can go and work on my stuff with people who will not give me too much crap about the whole, dude, that was terrible. It's a, dude, you should improve it by doing this. Mm-hmm. It's a very positive experience.
Constructive criticism.
Yes, I like it. And, you know, we've got original shows, we've got improv, we've got, you know, our fingers in all kinds of different theatrical pies. And well, you're going to be throwing them around, so, I mean, literally, fingers and pies. But,
I had a date like that. What? Never mind.
Yeah. So, sorry, I got distracted. I've been drinking.
That has never happened here.
I know.
Ever.
What?
I know. So, no, it's a lovely place filled with lovely people to do what they want to do and try to be funny about it and usually succeed at the funny. So, you know, it's been great to work with a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds in terms of getting into, you know, where they're coming from with Fearless, because we've got those different avenues. We've got a lot of different skills, and I'm seeing those skills cross over, and there's that cross training of skills, and people are improving in ways that, like, I never thought to try this, and I'm seeing people try things that they never would have done, and so it's been lovely.
And that's kind of the idea.
Yeah, it's a nice training ground, and the fact that I myself have gone and done it. I expect to just be the dude here. I'm going to throw you money, keep entertaining me, and then I feel like, oh shit, I better get on stage too. So yeah, it's been.
More butter.
Make with the funny.
He watches the comedy act, and then he gives a thumbs up or a thumbs down to let them know if they should kill that person or just dismember them.
Drawn and quarter. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got lost there for a minute. So, yeah. I like it. And I'm looking forward to seeing the shows. This money will support. So I very much encourage everyone. Donations don't have to be big.
Nope.
Give what you can. If you can come out and see the show, come out and see the show. It's you know, we've got a suggested donation, but it is just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather have people pay less and be in the audience.
Absolutely.
Than not be there at all. That would be sad.
One of the things that impresses me most about Fearless Comedy, and one of the reasons that I am wholeheartedly endorsing, supporting them, and joined the company, is that whether you are a member of Fearless or not, if you take part in the vast majority of our Fearless shows, you are a paid performer, which is a rare thing. Especially... You know, we have more, theater seats per capita than almost any other city on Earth except New York. And
we as the Twin Cities, not right, yes. like we the, as Fearless.
Right.
That's
no. The Twin Cities, have a wealth of theaters, but they can't always afford to pay their performers. And barring, I think, some very specific non-ticketed events, and even those we try, but with a large number of our shows, we make a point of paying the performers. And that is a huge deal, because that means that not only are you supporting our endeavors as a company when you donate, but you are supporting the people, fearless and otherwise, who take part in those endeavors.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Truth.
So,
what does fearless mean to you, Salsa?
What does fearless mean to me?
Why is this important? Why is this whole donating and raising funds important to you?
Because I enjoy being a part of a group of people that, instead of saying somebody should, they say I should. I for many years was the guy who came up with a lot of brilliant, stupid ideas, and always went, somebody should do this. And that's where it ended.
Then one day you realized you were somebody.
Exactly. No, yeah. I mean, quite literally. It's one of the things I and Fearless has made me who I am today, quite literally, because it is through Fearless that mindset changed. Because before, that mindset was of, I would really like to be involved in something like this. I hope somebody makes that thing. And now the mindset is, this is a thing that should exist. I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's fundamentally shifting the way you look at the world in how you want things to be created. It puts the onus on you that you want this to be a thing. Do it. And not just sit there going, well, I should do it, but I don't know how or what. It's, you want to do it? Cool. Now the next step is, we will help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so
not just shoving you out of the nest.
Exactly. So I have been able to do things like creating a show, and that experience teaching me how to just go out and do it and learn how to produce something and learn how to create something, and having the support means that when other things come along, like, you know, the idea of swallowing a sword, it was like, instead of going, well, somebody should do this thing, it went, well, I should do this thing.
I don't know that Raiderly appreciates Fearless as much as you do.
Not so much. It's absolutely true. And various other things in the last few years where I've come up with this wacky idea, and I've been able to go to people and say, hey, this is an idea I had, and they went, I like it, let's do it. And so we have.
Right.
You know, I've gotten to do some really fun, crazy things because I stepped up and said, I want to do a thing instead of somebody should do a thing. So being able to have that difference in the way your brain is wired as to how you want to approach things means that when it came to things outside of Fearless, like at the Renaissance Festival, there was a lot more of that going and getting it as opposed to waiting for it to come to me. You know, with doing other festivals with Casimir, you know, instead of being sitting on my laurels in Minnesota, it was just like, well, I want to go do these other festivals.
Yeah, waiting for someone to ask you.
Exactly.
To dance.
It was just like, I'm just gonna contact them, and if they say no, then they say no, but I'm going to instigate this.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach out and I'm gonna say, hey, you should hire me, you know, because I do these things. And the other thing that Fearless has done is gotten me on stage a lot more, obviously, so I've been able to hone a lot of those skills so that when I am going out and doing things, Even though it's a sideshow thing instead of a comedy thing, you still have that comfort level of just standing on a stage and going, I got this. I'm good. I've done this a billion times before. I don't know what the hell I'm doing necessarily, but that's okay, because I've been in those situations before, and sometimes they turn out horribly, but I'm still alive. So
right.
Whatever. So.
that's what fearless means to me, is giving me, is rewiring me in how I approach being a performer. Mm-hmm. In less of a I'm going to just wait for somebody to hire me, and saying, as a performer, I need to not only be a performer, but I also need to be my own, what's the word I'm looking for? My own agent.
Sure.
You know, my own business manager, my own producer, my own.
Or at least you need to have in and of yourself agency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Aww.
So. Yeah. Well, I have friends and acquaintances, some of them through Fearless, who have done amazing things as a result. Where I have these people who are heroes of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, and that I could never fathom actually meeting in person, and some of them I've gotten to meet through Fearless, but then also, I know people who, with that sense of agency, whether they got it from Fearless or whether they got it from somewhere else, they have endeavored to do something dangerous, as far as something risky, but they, instead of taking the safe, you know, day job route, they've become authors and artists and personal trainers and public speakers and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And that has led them to be invited to go to the Henson family homestead in England and like go through Jim Henson's study there and all of these, like all kinds of, or meet Guillermo del Toro, or to rub elbows with Penn Jillette, or to, you know, which I'm sure to some of you, you're like, oh, I know that person, or, you know, I've that's, you know.
But he threw a knife at me when I was 10. That's accurate.
I mean,
true story. Yeah. True story. I was glad there.
That the knife wasn't accurate, though. Was accurate?
It was accurate was enough accurate? To not hit me.
Good. Right.
And
yeah.
He threw a knife in my direction.
Good.
How's that?
But that this sense of agency is something that is incredibly important. And right now, it is so easy to do things and produce videos and music and put them someplace and have them never be heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But having an agency like Fearless to give stage time, to help promote, to, you know, have somebody to help you to produce this thing, can mean that there is a light on it.
Right.
You're not just shouting into the darkness, that this thing that you're doing has a chance of seeing the light of day. And that is rare and incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I support it.
Anything else we want to... Oh, have we...
No. No, I was waiting to see if anybody remembered that I existed. That's cool. Whatever. That's fine.
I remember.
No,
go ahead.
No.
Do you want to?
I can. I have... Let me talk about, I actually want to talk about, Fearless is important to me because it allows me to do crazy, stupid things. It is, and I posted to Facebook a little bit ago about, Die Laughing and how that came about from my perspective, like just from a totally self-centered, this is everything from Jenna's point of view. About having a crazy idea for a 50-hour marathon and then meeting other people that wanted to do a comedy marathon but not 50 hours. And I said, let's do 50 hours. And they said, okay. and, yeah, like, it's what I love about Fearless is just the willingness to do shit, to not overanalyze, to analyze it enough to make the calculations on how stupid is this really, but not to overanalyze it to the point where you back yourself into a corner. Hmm. And it gives me the opportunity to do stuff that is really scary to me. I'm going to be doing burlesque this Thursday, or Bit of Honey is going to be doing burlesque this Thursday, and that scares the ever-loving shit out of me. But from a psychological and growth and well-being kind of place, it's important to push yourself into doing things that are scary. And nothing's like, nobody's going to die if I do poorly at this, right? Hopefully I'll still be able to keep my job.
Speaking of somebody who has stripped on stage twice now,
yeah,
you'll be fine.
Right. Salsa has more experience with burlesque than I do. I don't know how I feel about that at all.
I know how I feel about that. Oh, God, my eyes!
Forming it, maybe.
But no, it is Fearless is a place to do scary things, and you can get the support that you need. And in doing scary things, not only do you as a person become stronger, but your comedy becomes stronger too. Like that's all. It's a huge tenet of Fearless is that some of the best comedy comes from uncomfortable places.
Yeah.
And to me, that is so incredibly important, not just to performance as a whole, but as our company identity and what it is that we do and what it is that we offer. We allow people a place to do scary things, and that is massive to me. Not huge. That's a different theater.
And they're great too.
Oh, they're wonderful. You should also donate to them.
Yes. Not as much as to Team Casimir.
A significant amount. And certainly not twice what you're donating to Casimir that you're donating to Team Sexy.
But. And I mean, I understand that your mortgage, you took out the second one to give money to Team Pie. But tuck a little away for these other two.
I can't imagine why you're not in first place anymore.
It's a mystery.
Selling it. I do want to say, like, Team Sexy was in last place for, like, forever.
Yeah.
And then, like, a couple days ago, we were in first place. I don't think we're in first place anymore.
No, you got
I think
bumped
we dropped
to second.
Down. We got bumped to second. But that's still incredible to me. Yeah. Like, holy shit, you guys. That happened. Real quick.
I'm still angling for Team Pie to,
yeah?
to win.
Are you guys last now? Or
No, we are right now.
Oh, because wow, you guys were mm-hmm. fighting for the top two earlier. Yeah, now yeah. Team Sexy and Mystery.
Team Casimir is at 375, last I knew. Mm. And all the other three teams are all above 400 right now. So, by the way, that means we're doing pretty fucking good, and I want to say personally,
oh, God, yes.
thank you to yes. everybody yes. who has
oh,
donated so far.
Sincerest thanks,
because we are all at 375 or above,
or more,
and that's four different teams. So that's a sizable chunk of change,
yeah.
and it's been nickels and dimes across a lot of yeah. different people. Mm-hmm. And
it's seriously,
sincerely,
so many of the donations
you.
Have just been $5, $10, but it all adds up.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome, and we literally could not do all of the shit that we do if it wasn't for people like you giving us money. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you for giving to Team Casimir. And I suppose the other ones.
You're too kind.
That's big of you.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
Oh, Jesus, Maddie and Joseph. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our Fast Five.
I'm going to edit this out.
You can't. You were talking on top of it, motherfucker.
I totally can.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm CDS.
Yay!
And hey, everybody. We just got back from break.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but if you're going to keep editing us out, we're going to start throwing it in at random places. Uh-huh. Take that, motherfucker. Bring it, little boy.
Throwing it at random places.
I had a date like that one.
She had a mystery date like
that. I really did. Oh, my God. And but not a team mystery date like that.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a mystery date and they start throwing in at random places,
man, congratulations.
What you really need to do is you need to treat yourself afterwards.
Yeah, you do.
And what you need to do is you need to get yourself some True Stone coffee.
And watch the sunrise with a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And think about your life choices.
While you marvel in the glow that is a post-coital glow. Whoa.
And if you're reflecting on your life choices, make sure that at least one of them is amazing. And that is the decision to get True Stone Coffee.
Indeed. True Stone Coffee, which, as you already know, you can get at truestonecoffee.com and order some coffee that they deliver directly to your door.
The most amazing coffee that money can buy.
Indeed. Mm. And they roast it fresh coffee, and they roast it to the correct
level. It's got a date on it.
I have a mystery date on it.
Yeah.
not only do they roast the coffee, they don't just grab some beans and go, Mexico, how we're gonna make this one a dark. No, they
spend some time
with the beans.
They get elbow deep in that shit.
Yeah. And then they go, what is the best roast for this bean? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, it does make a difference. It
makes a huge difference.
And so they roast the bean to perfection. And then they put it in a bag, and they put the date that it was roasted right on the bag. Mm-hmm. And then they send that directly to your door or your P.O. box or wherever you give the address to, because they're not mind readers. They only know you want it to go. That's where they send it. And where you want it to go is directly in your mouth and into your stomach.
Can they deliver it to your mouth?
They can, but I'm sure that probably costs extra.
Probably.
And you probably need a pretty good relationship with them.
Oh, I do have a pretty good relationship
with
them.
You can probably have them deliver coffee directly to your mouth. I'm going to talk to them about that now. Because we know some people. If you do not have...
Also, they're cool brews.
If you do not have that direct link, what you can do is you can metaphorically have them deliver it to your mouth by buying a True Stone tulip glass, and then pour said True Stone cold press into said tulip glass.
I love my
tulip
glass. And then
the True Stone tulip glass, ergo them, will deliver that right to your lips. And you can get all of this at their website, True Stone Coffee, and by entering the promo code
Apropos
Scotch.
It's spelled apropos.
Oh.
It's spelled Scotch.
Son of a bitch.
Also, Scotch is a somebody's taking over promo our code, thing. By the way. But either one of these will get you 10% off of your total order, which means you can get delicious, delicious coffee delivered directly to your mouth via a True Stone tulip glass for 10% off, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, yeah, Salsa.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
I know. Fine. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Stefan Moeller.
Senpai has noticed us.
Yes.
I'm all
well, I mean, he sent it in a while ago, but we've had other...
I meant to write one before I came and completely forgot.
Aww.
Wait, which time?
Yeah, I mean...
Now.
That you came?
Well, this is...
Did which you not hand notice was my it? Hands in my pockets, James?
Whoa. Oh, God. You I need started. An adult. I know.
For those of you who do not know how this...
Because you wouldn't, you bitch.
For those of you who do not know how this works, what we do is we are sent two separate emails from you, dear listener. The first email has five A or B choices.
Five!
All it is, however, is just the choices. We do not know what the context for these choices is, so we must determine, based solely on what the two options are, what we think they're what they think that the context is. And after we have made our choices, then we open the second email to find out what the context actually was. So, this one is from Stefan, like I said, and question number one is art or science?
Oh,
I know.
¿Por qué no los dos?
It's not how this works.
I know. It's like the only place that doesn't like work.
I wonder if this is like a movie thing.
When playing Trivial Pursuit, I go for the science piece first.
Mm. I'm pretty good at both of those wedges.
Well, so am I, but I go for science first.
Man.
Pink's just not my color.
Mm. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I first went to college for a theater degree. Mm-hmm. But ended up going back for a computer degree.
Oh.
So I think I'm going to go science.
See, I was actually going to go, I have 2 degrees as well, one in arts and one in science. I'm gonna.
You actually just got slightly cooler to me, Salsa. That's weird.
That is weird.
I didn't realize you had a degree in each area.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well done. What are you gonna go?
I'm gonna go science, I think.
Also, what degrees?
The first one was just fine arts.
Okay.
Sure.
And then the second was computer science. All?
Oh yeah, only one of those.
Well, fine arts is it's a general. There's no like music or something interesting. It's general fine arts.
I was going for radio television and sort of slid sideways into communications theater.
He's got a face for radio television and a voice for radio television.
Huh?
Didn't think that went through.
Yeah, no.
The only degree that joke has is antiperspirant.
Whoa!
So that's funny.
Kind of.
The only degree a previous host on this show had is any person.
Whoa.
May he rest in peace. I think I'm going to have to go arts.
So we got an art and 3 sciences?
Yeah.
I guess.
All right.
For science!
For science!
Oh, shit!
Ha!
Fuck!
Sucker!
Okay. All right. Changing answer?
I'm going to stick on.
Okay.
He's a new guy. He doesn't understand yet.
Okay. Question number 2. Classic or modern?
Oh, shit. I love watching classical dance, but I love performing modern dance.
Hmm.
I think I'm going classic. I think in the 3 or 4 different ways I think this could go, classic is going to be the
actually role. So in music, I love classical music played on like electronic instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And I love modern music played like acoustically, like fucking rap like and shit on apocalypse. Yeah.
But if you've never heard Switched on Bach, you are missing out.
Oh fuck yes. Oh, all right.
Bach played on a Moog.
Modern. I'm going modern.
Modern.
Okay. I think I think I'm going to go classic.
I like a lot of electronica.
I'm going classic.
I do too.
James?
But if I had to choose between acoustic and electric, I think I'm going to go acoustic.
I love the original Danny Kaye Walter Mitty, but I fucking love the new Walter Mitty movie, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. They're both modern? Really good, so I'm going to go with modern.
Okay.
Wow.
So.
Question number 3.
That's exactly what that's referencing, by the way.
Probably not, but...
You never know with these.
That's true.
Question number 3.
Yeah.
Cat or dog?
Oh, cat. Always cat.
Why is there no snake?
Snake.
I know, right? Snake.
Snake is sleepy.
Snake is
and way. Plus, I believe the scientific term is danger.
Danger noodle. Yes. Oh my God, you guys! I almost hit a trash panda the other day.
Oh.
I was driving home at dusk, and it just like scampered
in front.
Was it
named Tim Wick?
No, then I would have hit it. Fucker. I owe him one.
God damn it.
Now, I'm going to go cat. I think I prefer, like, for pets, I miss my ferrets.
Hmm.
And yes, I know everybody thinks they're stinky, but if you take care of them properly, they're not. And everybody doesn't take care of them properly, and it pisses me off. So get your little prejudice, stereotypical, whatever bullshit out of my ferretdom. But aside from that, I'm going to go cats.
Tell us how you really feel.
Really pissed at the misconceptions of poorly treated ferrets.
I grew up with both. I'm just about to move out of a place with a cat to move into a place with 2 dogs. And one of them, I love them both, but especially Roomba. Roomba is just, she's just the sweetest.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going dog this time.
I don't know how to dog. I must cat.
Oh, plus Turbo Dog.
Oh, God, Turbo Dog.
I don't have a fucking
I still don't have
cat.
My finger painting of Turbo Dog. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, you're never going to get it from Matt now.
Never going to get it.
Never going
to
get it.
I'll just talk to Austin.
No, you're never going
to
get it.
Of the two animals, it is easier to ignore a cat, so I'm going with that cat.
Oh.
Huh.
But Salsa has a tiny kitten.
Oh my God, tiny kitten is adorable.
Yes, I do.
Oh, it curled up with me last week, and it started grooming me. It started licking my hair. I was like,
I gotta go with Roomba on this one. I gotta go dog.
Mm.
Yes, I have not forgotten how to dog.
Question number 4.
Yeah.
Ooh, snake or tarantula? Snake?
Yes, snake. Dangerous.
I would rather eat snake.
I love
cute. Aww.
I would like to try it.
I've had rattlesnake. It's tasty.
I still have a sort of very mild arachnophobia.
Mm.
I have definitely...
So what you need to do is donate to Team Casimir so we reach 500 so Megan eats a tarantula right in front of James.
Fuck. So that, but then also, but snakes are so cute. Tarantulas are pretty cute.
Snakes are like super chill, and they'll just like hang out with you.
Final round of pandemonium was on spiders, so I'm going tarantula.
Okay.
You mean the one that you won?
Snake.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Snake.
Question number 5. September 30th or October 1st?
Is there a holiday in that area?
Is that...
No.
No.
Halloween is end of October.
Right.
Right. Maybe is when do you prefer that people start putting out their fucking Christmas decorations? And
there's neither.
Yeah, I mean,
what, after Thanksgiving, you guys. After Thanksgiving, that's day after Thanksgiving is the first day that you can put that shit up.
It's the 12 days of Christmas. No, that's the fucking
3 months.
Weeks
okay, so September 30th or October 1st? That's right at the end of Fest.
It is.
Yes.
Fuck.
I'm going to go September 30th just because I generally prefer to plan ahead. I like doing I like doing things ahead of time. I like warmer temperatures. I love October cuz it's like my birthday month and there's all of the leaves and the pumpkin stuff and the all of that, but I love the kind of like the back to school feel of September and the gradual shift from hot into cooler. That's kind of nice. I don't know what the date signifies, but I'm going to go with September, and 30th can come along with. Is how I feel about that.
October is my favorite month.
Yeah? It's my favorite month,
too. It has
some
of my favorite foods. It has one of my favorite holidays, like my most favorite holidays. The weather is so much better in October than it is in September.
Nope. That's
me.
Where I disagree with you, but yeah, I'm also bones.
Right?
See, I am a skeleton. I am a skeleton, so I don't need October for that part of it, and that also makes me a freeze baby.
Everyone has a spooky skeleton inside them.
Yeah, you can wake
Mine's
me
just
up when September
slightly
ends.
More I mean, visible.
Closer
Mine's
to the
not spooky.
No,
Mine's,
nope. No,
Mine's cuddly and lovable.
Mine's functional.
Mine was
really adorable. I'm conflicted now. That's. I'm still going with October.
Okay.
I'm going with October 1st because let's get this year done with.
Mm.
Also that.
All right. Well,
I don't know what you guys have been talking about. I've had a great year this year.
Question number 1. Art or science? How would you describe salsa's drink making?
Ooh.
For science.
Ooh.
We drink it for science but it is the art of mixology.
Right.
I am a judge that has no frame of reference because every time I'm fucking here, I'm drinking
Scotch.
And so I am going to say...
So what you're saying is you haven't been drinking along at home?
Oh. My bar is only so big and it is full of Scotch. So, no, I have not.
We have to make you a theater floor at some
here's
point.
The
oh,
thing.
God. No,
with,
we don't.
With mixology, there are a lot of rules. There are, you know, various things like not mixing brown and clear liquors and various other rules of thumb to go by. You know, these things go well with these things and stuff like that. I don't know any of that. So I'm going with art, because it's really kind of by
very intuition based.
See, because you don't know what the rules are, I have to say it's science because you're experimenting.
Oh,
there is that.
And art does have rules to it, or at least very strong guidelines.
We did go that's through also, the Dr. Pepper.
That was scientific. That's
that was
very
highly
true.
Scientific experimentation.
I'm going to stick with science.
Shit.
All right.
Science it is.
All right.
Question
number 2.
But there's an art to his science.
There is an art to his science,
yeah,
but it is
but
science.
It's 51% is all we need. Question number 2.
Is this a democracy?
No, it just needs to swing ever so slightly.
Well, see, if you understand science, then you know that
I'm a girl. I don't know science at all.
Liar.
By the way, just dear listener, Jenna mansplained to me the other day.
It was glorious.
And it was so good.
I will say, it made me so happy. For those that did notice, our domain was downish, depending on where you were at. There were some complications. Not long, but there were some complications in the transfer over to a new service. So, as things were downish, Salsa was like, so I'm seeing it, you're not, because it hates me. And I'm like, Salsa, let me explain to you how DNS and domain registry works and the propagation of, I had fun.
No, that's I was just really, really impressed that you got it right.
Whoa. Oh. Is there a blast radius? Should I stand back at all? Is there like a dotted line of safety?
There is now a sword in my hand.
Don't use the scimitar. Use the whole tar.
Now I don't know which one to hit. Shit!
I'll stand with the hammer and block them in there so that you can...
It'll be more of a murder funnel.
Yeah, no, legit. She mansplained to me, and it was awesome.
It was pretty glorious.
I was really happy with it. Well, you see, Salsa.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
Oh, by the way, thank you. It made my job a lot easier knowing that.
Did you actually not know that?
See, she doesn't have commitment.
No, I just thought you were that stupid.
No.
Well, you see, Salsa, commitment.
Thank you.
Yes!
Question number two.
Okay.
Classic or modern?
Yes.
Which set of Sonic the Hedgehog games are better?
Classic.
Classic.
Straight up classic. Yeah. Give me Sega Genesis. All right,
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
For the purposes of this question, the quote-unquote classic Sonic games are 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles and Mania. Ooh. Modern is everything else, starting with Sonic Adventure.
Fuck, Sonic Adventure was really good. Still classic. I still have to go classic.
Okay, which was the shitty one that took place in a desert? The vaguely racist Arabian one?
Yeah. That would fall in Legend of the Secret Rings?
Yes, that one. Yep. So that's modern?
Yeah.
I'm going to go classic.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was a piece of shit. Like, straight up piece of shit.
Like, I had fun playing it, but I also play games stupid, so...
Right. No, that was awful, and I hated it, and I still own it.
Tomorrow, I get Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2.
I just saw advertisements for that. It looks really good.
I don't care, because I don't like Sonic.
I hate you.
Well, no, Sonic
I'm taking the sword down
Sonic
again.
Is not my playstyle. I am a very slow, methodic player, and Sonic is fast and manic, and I do not play games that way.
Sonic is the only color you can see.
What?
I'm actually with Salsa. I don't generally particularly care for the Sonic games personally, but of those two sets, definitely the classic.
I fucking love them.
Yeah. No, I understand. That's okay.
I just games.
I'm not even gonna say you're wrong.
Games that are frenetic or fast paced. I every time I have picked up a Sonic game, I have played for about 5 minutes and gone, nope.
I really enjoy like the speed platformer aspect of it.
I enjoy the turn-based RPG because then I can take my time.
No, yeah.
And see, if I'm going to play a platformer, give me something like Braid, where I can just sit there for half an hour going,
I have a recommendation for you, by the way.
How am I going to do this?
Yeah.
Or you know, Fez or something like that.
Oh,
something
Fez.
Where I can really take my time on.
Fez.
I think you would enjoy Closure.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one.
I'd like some Closure, too.
Yeah. All right, well, what's question number three, then?
Psychological jokes.
Cat or dog? Which
there was a little song associated with.
I don't know exactly what this means. Which animal cafe would you visit more frequently?
An animal
in
cafe.
Japan, yeah, they and in California and a few other places they have what are called animal cafes, where you sit down, you get tea or coffee or something like that, light foods, snack foods, and then you're also just inundated with a particular type of animal. They have owl cafes, where there are
just owls,
just dozens of owls in the cafe, just hanging out with you, just being cool, and so
if you need to send a letter,
right? Yeah.
So I would go with Kat on this one because I can ignore them more easily.
I think I would have to say Kat Cafe because
kittens are adorable.
Look, if you're gonna play with a dog, you need more space than I'm gonna knock your coffee over.
I really want to focus on a dog in an environment where something boiling hot may not be spilled on me.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is going to make me very unpopular with a lot of people. But dogs are annoying. Hmm. Dogs, if I want to play with or pet a dog, then cool, great. But once I'm done playing / petting this dog, mm-hmm. I don't want to play / pet with this dog anymore. And instead of having it... Yeah. Fucking in my shit all the time. Whereas a cat, I can go, okay, I'm done with you, go away. And the cat goes, all right, and walks away.
I was done with you anyway.
Yeah, exactly. and it can go fuck off, and I can go fuck off, and it's not going to be underfoot wrecking shit up.
Oh, I've got the opposite experience with animals right now. The cat that lives in my current place is fucking American Express. It's just everywhere I want to be. And then the dog... that I love very much, Roomba, when I'm sitting on the couch and just hanging out, she's either got the zooms and she's off running around somewhere, or...
And then you get the nails on the tile.
When she's ready to, lay down and be calm and quiet, she just, snuggles up to my butt and wants to be petted. No, and that's it. Away. And I love that.
Yeah, my cat is occasionally a hobbit. It is underfoot.
I do not like the smell of wet dog.
That's agreed.
Fair.
Cats smell better.
Ooh, that is a really good point.
Now, I don't like the smell of cat markings very well, but the smell of wet dog is just not... God,
I can't
even...
There's also, the cat litter smell that I can get from across the house. They're both, there are...
It's way easier to take care of the litter issue, I think. Because you got to wash your dog, man.
Yeah.
That's right. You got to take your dog out all the time.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, there's that.
You know what I've never heard from a cat owner? I have to leave this party at 10 p.m. I need to go let my cat out.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
But then you also can't use a cat as an excuse to leave.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I can.
If I want to leave, I'm going to leave.
Well, there's that. At the end of this game,
I have zero problem going, I don't want to be here anymore.
Multiplied by your popularity.
I win again.
I'm playing golf.
Anyway, what's next?
Snake or tarantula? Which quote unquote creepy pet do you prefer? Snake.
Snakes.
Easy.
Snakes are so cuddly.
They're so cute.
As a pet, I'd rather have the tarantula.
Tarantulas are super chill. Speaking of, non-interference animals that you could just leave, tarantulas are very chill, but snakes are so fucking cute.
All right, question number 5, September 30th or October 1st, which date is more appropriate to start putting up Halloween decorations?
Since we have
to choose one of the two, I'm going with 11:59 on the 31st. On the October 1st, as late as humanly possible. I want to see decorations for Halloween going up the day before Halloween.
I'm fine with either, actually.
I like the mood.
Honestly.
I like building toward the big thing, instead of just having one orgiastic explosion of decorations and then everything gets taken down or left up until Easter. I do like having the mood of the holiday being built up.
I'm a bah humbug about
decorations. But I'm going to go October 1st. So
I'm fine with either. If I have to pick one, sure, go for it on the 30th. I don't care.
All right, so that is our Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first will have your A or B choices, and the second will have a repeat of the A or B choices followed by their context. Send those to, salsa@aonpodcast.com. If you have never sent one in before, we will put you at the top of the queue. And if you somehow manage to get us a physical copy or,
attach it to a bottle of booze in some way, shape, or form, ooh, you will absolutely get stuck to the top of the list. Obviously, we are going to tell you to donate to Fearless Comedy Productions for Give to the Max Day. Yes, you can go to givemn.org and look for Fearless Comedy Productions. And then make your choice. Would you want to support Team Pie, Team Sexy, Team Casimir, or Team Mystery? Any and all of those are more than okay, but do keep an eye on the stretch goals and try to try to get some of those stretch goals taken care of, because
you want to see us in pain.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what it boils down to. I will be debuting a new act. Jenna will obviously debuting a new act.
And then some.
James is going to be doing something never seen before.
Real dumb.
Those aren't making it.
So, yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be... you're not going to want to miss it. So please, on the 16th of November, go to the Mounds Theater and watch the show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, thank you to Stefan Senpai for sending in the Fast Five. And we're doing plugs.
Yeah, that's what we're doing now.
That's what we started. Yeah,
I have a show coming up in December. I'm going to be doing the stage version of the radio play of A Christmas Carol.
Nice.
With a company that's been doing it for quite a while, and it is a fantastic show, despite me being in it.
Okay, yeah. I just God damn it! All right, I have a bunch of things I'm going to plug. None of it mine, so I'll be very quick. Southwest High School presents Steampunk Romeo and Juliet. Go find information on Southwest High School. Fiddler on the Roof is happening somewhere south. I totally forgot to get the company name for that. I suck. Encyclopedia show is this Sunday. I am not performing, but a lot of fantastic people are. This Sunday, 7 p.m. at Kieran's Irish Pub. I think I'm going to just go see that one because it sounds really cool. Mm-hmm. Theme is superheroes.
Ooh.
So check that. Green Tea opens their production of Frankenstein this weekend. I know several people involved with Green Tea, but I believe we have all talked about and discussed the wonderful Reverend Matthew Kasson. So he is also performing in that. And that's what I've got that's happening in the cities this week.
You probably will not be able to make this unless you are listening in the western Minnesota area, but I will be on December 1st performing in the remount of Mystery at Mystery Lodge in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Like I said, that is December 1st. Tickets are going fast. We have a 300-seat banquet hall, and we have already sold 2/3 of those seats. So get your tickets, get them fast. This is going to be a great show. We have most of the original cast, with the exception of a couple people who moved to Seattle.
Idiots.
But otherwise, it's going to be the original cast, so you know that everybody's going to know their shit, and it's going to be a good time. Anything else?
I want to plug my show.
Do you?
I've got a podcast.
Oh, do you?
Yes, it's about scotch. Imagine that.
Seems apropos.
Yeah, you can find it at scotch.xtlpodcast.com. It's the Extreme Tasting League Scotch Show.
Mm-hmm. Our illegitimate stepchild.
Indeed.
All right. If that is all, then I will say it is time for us to leave your... iPod or listening device for yet another week. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Cedius for being on the show. Hey. And as always, eat the fucking cake.
Night.
Or the
night.
Pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls. Bye, we love you.
This is me testing my microphone. Testy, 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 testy.
Detest?
Testing, testing. Booyah Bays based jokes. Booyah Bays based jokes.